She realized she's reached the absolute bottom in life when she found herself one afternoon in a dark closet holding a pistol ready to take her life. She cried out to God and said, God, if you don't want me to do this, you need to do something right here and right now. That very moment, her son burst through the front door shouting, Mama, Mama, come look what I have. Well, she put the pistol down and tried to compose herself as best she could. I went out to meet her son. He'd come home from middle school that day. He was standing in the front room holding a testament like this one that we give the middle school kids. As Terry told us, that Gideon that was on the sidewalk that was faithful to give that Bible, that testament to her son, had no idea that she was literally seconds away from eternity. But because he was there and because someone from a church just like this gave the dollar and a quarter for that testament, she and her son started their faith walk to Jesus that day. So we want to thank you, church. We want to thank you for being such good pastors with us, partners with us. Pastor Steve, we so appreciate your partnership. Let me tell you quickly who we are and what we do for those that aren't familiar with us, even though we've been here frequently. We're simply born again business and professional men and our wives, and our sole purpose is to reach the lost for Jesus. We do it by distributing the word and by placing the word, as well as by witnessing for him. We're currently doing it in 196 countries. It was 193 at the start of this year. We're doing it at a rate of almost 3 of these testaments or Bibles every second. That's like Bible, 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 all through the year. And we do it in what we call 5 traffic lanes of life. The first would be the hotels and motels. Second is the medical facilities of all kinds. Third is to prisons and jails. The fourth place we go to is the military, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And then, of course, to schools, one of our largest areas of distribution. But it's really the why that we do it that tells all you need to know about the Gideon ministry, and that's found in 2 Peter 3:9, where God says he wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance and be saved. Amen? Gideons are simply an extended missionary arm of this church. That's the extent of it. You might wonder how long we've been doing this for. Well, a man walked into a hotel in San Francisco, checked into a room there, went up to his room, opened his bag, and started putting his belongings out, took a vial of poison and put it on the nightstand, went about preparing his belongings before he came back to take his life. When he came back to take his life, he found that vial of poison was resting on a Gideon Place Bible, much like this one. He opened the front page and found it helped in time of need right here. He read Psalm 126, John 14. He put the Bible down. He took the vial of poison and he threw it out the window and he got down on his knees and gave his life to Jesus. That was San Francisco, 1915, church, 1915, almost 100 years ago. So again, we want to thank you. How many? The details that Steve had and on the bulletin are a little out of date. We've just did 84 million scriptures last year and hope to do 87 million this year with your help. Now, a second area we go to are the medical facilities. That's hospitals, doctor's offices, battered women's shelters, you name it, we go there. The medical facility distributions are a primary place that our wives go to place the testament. Some we do, the wives do, and some we do together. One of our wives had placed a Bible like this in a doctor's office waiting room in Norway. A young man came in, opened it up, and read it for a few minutes until he got called for his appointment. He was so convicted on what he'd read in those few minutes, he went out and bought his own Bible, read the whole thing, gave his life to Jesus, went to Bible college, and now he and his wife are pastors in Norway because of that one Bible that was placed there by our wives. This is a $5 cost now. So again, we want to thank you. Another area we go to the armed forces, and I talked with Steve a little bit before the service. We've been doing this since 1941. These are the first small testaments that we ever handed out to anybody. And we did it about 50,000 of these about 8 months before Pearl Harbor. Decision pages in the back were found signed floating in the water after Pearl Harbor attack. But we do believe this is the best offensive and defensive weapon that we can give our men and women in the military. Amen? Now, I know a pastor who's probably retired now who was pastoring in Rio Vista, he had a testimony on his wall, and the testimony was in the form of a picture. He and another soldier were standing there in the picture. It was during the Vietnam War, and they were holding one of these testaments. The only difference was the testament they were holding had a hole in it. The testament had been in the vest pocket of that soldier. It had taken a bullet and saved his life, which shows there's more than one way that the Word of God can save. Amen? The fourth area we go to, the traffic lane we go to, are prisons and jails. If a camp, is a local geographic group of Gideons, if, for example, the Roseville Rockland camp has a jail or a prison in the area, they will try to get into it to take the word there. But I want to take you to North Carolina for a moment. There's a Gideon named Brother Curtis who loves to tell people about Jesus. He has a Bible study in his home, at his church. And at one point in time, a man named Lester and his wife had come into the Bible study at church. Now, Lester was only there for a short time and left abruptly. His wife continued for a while, and eventually she stopped coming as well. Brother Curtis had a very large burden for this couple. He went by their house. He called them on the phone. He even wrote them letters, but he'd completely lost track of this couple. 2 years later, he was reading in a paper that had a list of the death row inmates at the Florida State Prison, and he saw Lester's full name. His burden was even bigger. One morning, Brother Curtis got up and decided he was going to drive from North Carolina to Florida. He wanted to see Lester on death row. He got there and they said, "You don't get to see people on death row." He didn't know what to do. He was simply standing in the lobby praying what to do next. Someone tapped him on the shoulder. He met the head of the Florida State Prison System that day, church, and he got to see Lester on death row. As he walked down the aisle to Lester's cell, Lester saw him coming and he said, "Brother Curtis, you don't give up, do you? You come by my home, you call me, send me letters, and now you drive down from North Carolina." But then Lester shut up. He wouldn't say anything else. So before he left, Brother Curtis simply took one of these little testaments and left it by the door of his cell and drove back home to North Carolina. A few months later, he got a letter from Lester. It read, "Brother Curtis, I'm born again. Because of you and your persistence, I've given my life to Jesus, and I want to thank you." A few months later, he received one last letter, and it read, "Brother Curtis, by the time you read this letter, my life will have been taken. I will have paid my debt to society for the crimes and the sins I committed, but I want you to know one thing, that in the time I had, I was able to lead 47 people to the Lord Jesus Christ before they executed me, including the reporter that came to interview me just before I was executed. So I want to thank you. And we want to thank you for the Lesters around the world as well, church. You make it possible for us to do this." Now the fifth area is schools. And for most camps, most Gideon camps, schools is the biggest distribution point. We start at fifth grade and work our way on up. There was a Gideon in Oregon named Peter, was at a middle school distribution, and he offered a testament like this to a young man. He said, "No, I don't need it." He said, "What do you mean you don't need it?" He said, "Well, you gave me one last year." He said, "Well, what did you do with it?" He said, "Well, I took it home and I didn't have any need for it, so I just threw it on the kitchen table. My dad came in and asked me what it was. I told him it was a Bible, New Testament. He started thumbing through it, and then he read from the front to the back, and he got to the decision page and gave his life to Jesus. He gave it to my mom, told her she should read it too. She read it from the front to the back, gave her life to Jesus. They told me I should read it, so I read the whole thing and gave my life to Jesus. My sister came to Christ as well, and now as a family, we go to church together because of that testament that was given to us. We'd never been individually or together as a family in a church in our lives. So I want to thank you. Again, the $1.25 testament, church. Four souls for the price of that $1.25. Last year, this Roseville Rockland camp, and for just about every year for several years, have been distributing over 2,000 of these testaments at the middle schools and the high schools here in the area. So they would like to thank you as well. Now, I mentioned fifth grade on up. Well, we go through colleges. If there's a college in the area and we have access to get in there, we'll go to the college. I'm from the Yolo County camp, and we go to UC Davis, and just last year distributed over 6,600 of these testaments in 2 days. 6,600. It's really in those colleges where we see all the tribes, the tongues, the nations, the people. They're all there. UC Davis has got 33,000 kids. But I want to take you to Wisconsin for a minute. There's some twins that lived in Wisconsin, Kevin and Keith. They were very close twin brothers. They went all the way through the school system together. But as they got into the high school period, they got away from God and became avowed atheists. I don't mean just I don't believe in God atheists. I mean they were avowed atheists. They argued with their mother about her Christianity on a regular basis, which broke their mother's heart. When they got through high school, they attended the University of Wisconsin there in Madison as well. And one day on the way to class, Kevin was walking down, he got off the bus and he's walking down a long cement way, and a man dressed like I am dressed, holding a box of testaments, offered him a testament. He gave him a rather foul response and proceeded on down the walkway, but as he looked, he realized there's another one of these me's about every 50 yards. He decided just to take the thing. He decided to pretend he was going to read it as he went to class. Well, he went to class. He got out of class. He realized he hadn't been pretending. He'd been reading it. He went to an isolated area. He read the testament the rest of the day. He got on the bus. He went home reading the testament. He got home. He went up to his room and read the testament. And that night, Kevin gave his life to Jesus. He had an overwhelming burden to tell his best friend about Jesus, his brother Keith. But as he told us, he had never won an argument against Keith in his whole entire life. So it was with somewhat fear and trepidation he went up to Keith's room and knocked on the door. Keith said, "Come in," and he found his brother Keith on his knees by the bed, holding a testament like this one. And he said, "Kevin, I've just given my life to Jesus, and now I want to tell you about him." Two brothers, same day, came to Christ for those two testaments that they received. So again, we want to thank you, church. Some of these testimonies may have given you the idea that you can help us. Well, you certainly can. You can become Gideons formally or informally. First of all, the most important thing is to pray for us. It's prayer that brought down the Iron Curtain over 20 years ago. It's prayer that's bringing down the bamboo curtain. But when the Iron Curtain came down in those first few months, the Gideons were in Russia distributing 600,000 scriptures like this every month, 600,000 every month in Russia. Bibles like this one that last in the United States about 5 years had to be replaced every 2 weeks. They were being stolen so fast. We have at least one camp that's legally there in China. The authorities know we're there. Please pray that those doors open even wider. We could be distributing millions of Bibles legally there, but we need your prayers. Second is, if you'd consider joining this ministry. We always need men and women to be the hands and feet of the ministry. Jay and Dory Butler are in the Roseville Rockland camp. They're here with me today, and we'd love to talk to you after the service about the possibility of that, being one of 300,000 volunteer missionaries in those 196 countries. Third is to give financially, of course. That's through cash, check, or credit card. One other way that we've got, though, and we've supplied a display, they're free Gideon cards. They're either in memory card like this one or in recognition or thinking of you cards. You simply take them, fill them out, send them or give them, and then put an offering in the envelope that comes with the card in the display out here. It's an excellent way to support the ministry anytime throughout the year. But the best thing that I like beyond the support, these new cards, all of these new cards have a salvation testimony, a different salvation testimony on the back. And I'm going to briefly read it because this is so typical of what we receive from information from our headquarters about what happens when a little testament like this goes into a country or a village. It says, "I was given a Gideon New Testament in my country. My four friends wanted to read it too. We carefully cut apart the Gospels and shared them with each other. All five of us were saved through that one New Testament." So that's how you can help us, church. Gideons have access to over 80% of the world population, but for example, India is about 90% unreached. They have not heard the gospel. As big as that country is, and as many Gideons as we have in that country, they're very unreached. Today, I'd simply like to ask you to give sacrificially as the Holy Spirit would lead you, that others would live eternally, not here. I'm not worried about here, but others would live eternally because of your generosity. A movie came out a number of years ago, and a phrase that's always stuck in my mind that I tell sometime in churches, and I want to tell it here briefly. It was a phrase simply, what we do in this life echoes into eternity. Can you say that with me? What we do in this life echoes into eternity. I think it's another way of saying the sowing and reaping principle. Whatever you give today, whatever you give, $100 or $1, 125 cents for a testament like this, or $5 for this, it will be placed somewhere in this world by a camp like the Roseville Rockland Camp, or around the world in one of those 196 countries. When they're bought and they're received in the camp, we place them for free. We have regional field officers that are telling us that the doors in places like Africa, the doors are literally off the hinges, asking us to come, or asking us to come back when we do a distribution and we run out of testaments. That happens too, unfortunately. But we have an advantage that other missionaries don't have. We live there. We speak the language. We care about our neighbors because we're permanently there in all of those countries. And also consider this, there's some 24 countries in the earth here that don't allow foreign missionaries to come in and bring the word. But we're already living there, so we can do what no one else can do, church. And keep in mind, many times we read about these little testaments becoming a textbook in a school somewhere in the world. A textbook. Imagine the opportunity. Today, if you don't hear anything else I say, please hear this. Your giving today ensures a child whose name you don't know, who lives on a street you'll never walk, in a far corner of the earth, can read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for us, you and me." You make that possible. We put them out there, but you make it possible for us to do that. We can't do it without you, church. Now, there's a couple other types of distributions I want to share with you before I close. One is when we go to disasters or tragedy areas, and they're all over the earth, of course. After 9/11, we were in the New York City area within 2 weeks distributing over 500,000 scriptures. After Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, again, over 500,000 scriptures along the Gulf Coast. In 2005, there was a terrible earthquake in Pakistan. Over 73,000 people perished. As part of the first responders, the Gideons were there, handing out the word. A Muslim village cleric, the head man in a village, received a testament like this from a Gideon. Tried to read it, but he couldn't figure out what it meant. The Gideon explained it to him, kind of like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The man gave his life to Christ. He left the Muslim Brotherhood, as you might say. He took that testament home, and he led his entire family to Christ with that one testament that cost $1.25. But that created a problem for that man. The former Muslim head man in the village. The village was incensed that they had been deserted by this man and his family for Christianity. So they refused him water at the village well, effectively condemning them to death. The man didn't know what to do. He simply cried out to God, and he started digging a hole, a well, in his home by hand. He hit water. 2 weeks later, the village well dried up. Where do you think they came for water, church? His only restriction was if they were going to drink the well from his water, that he would get to tell them about the living water that he'd found in Jesus Christ And now he reports, church, he reports now that that entire village in Pakistan is a Christian village because of that one testament. So we want to thank you. You make that possible. Now, the other type of distribution is called a Bible blitz. We do blitzes here in this country in large city areas, but the most important ones occur in very poor foreign countries around the globe. We do a number of them every year. And as I tell you about this last Bible blitz, consider that in all of these distributions that I've mentioned, Montana, San Francisco, Oregon, Norway, Vietnam, Florida, Wisconsin, Pakistan, and here as we close, El Salvador, you're there with us. You're standing with us, distributing the word. You don't have to spend $1,000 or $1,500 to go halfway around the earth. You go with the distribution with either the prayers that you've sent us or the money that you've given us. This Bible Blitz was in El Salvador, and when we do them for a week or 2 weeks at a time, depending on where we're going to be in a country. On this particular day, a couple of the local Gideons were with a couple other Gideons, and their assignment was to go to school, to a school. There was a morning distribution and an afternoon distribution, and that day, the morning distribution went well. When they came back for the afternoon distribution, though, they found a number of the testaments had been torn up and the pages scattered around. So they picked them up as best they could and then went ahead and did the afternoon distribution. After the distribution, they were headed back to where they were staying. They decided to stop by a store that was on the side of a road. As they got out of their car and started to approach the door of the store, they found a young boy was sitting in the doorway crying. They asked him what was wrong, and he said, "Can you tell me more about this man that I've been reading about? This man named Jesus?" A couple of the men went inside while a couple of the others stayed with the boy, and inside the store they found a man, and he was crying as well. He said, "That boy out there is my son. I've never seen him cry before. You've got to tell me more about this man named Jesus." That day, both father and son gave their lives to Jesus because of not a Bible or a testament, but one page from one of those testaments that cost $1.25, church. You made that possible. So again, we'd like to thank you. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you get us the word, we will get it to the lost." Thank you so much for having us here today. We'd love to talk to you about any of this or after the service. We'll be out in the back. God bless you, and thank you for partnering with this ministry. Amen.